What's happening, everybody? Welcome into the Two Stripes Podcast, the podcast that covers everything going on around the college football landscape. My name is Colton Denning, and I'm your host, coming to you from beautiful Boulder, Colorado. I want to thank you all for tuning into the show today. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the show. And if you like the show and want to hear more of it, please make sure to go to soundcloud.com/twostripespod or go on to Apple Podcasts and search the Two Stripes Podcast. And you can subscribe there and leave some feedback for me and catch all of the old episodes there and all of the new ones as they drop as we head into the 2017 season. We're only a couple weeks away. I'm only going to do a few more of these preview podcasts, given that there's so little time left until the start of the season, but be on the lookout for a few more of those dropping in the next couple of weeks. On today's episode, we're going to talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks. This was an episode that I recorded last week prior to the news yesterday of legendary head coach Frank Broyles passing, so thoughts out to all of the Arkansas football family, as well as the Broyles family. Getting into Arkansas this season, though, this was a pretty fun episode to record. Arkansas under Brett Bielema has been a team that can go on runs, especially in the middle of the season or late in the season, and they can look like one of the 15 best teams in the country for a 4 or 5 week stretch, but they haven't been able to close games in the last couple of seasons. They've had some ups and downs, but this is a team with a very high potential and a high ceiling. And if a couple of things happen to break their way, I think along with Auburn and LSU can make a push for finishing second in the SEC West. I still don't think anybody's going to challenge Alabama for that spot, but I do think that Arkansas has a legitimate chance to have their best season under Brett Bielema. So with that being said, we might as well get right into today's episode and talk a little Arkansas football. To talk about the Razorbacks, I'd like to welcome one of the managing editors over at ArkansasFight.com, Arkansas's SB Nation blog, Eric Harris. Eric, what's going on, man?
Doing well. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, glad that you're on the show. I'm excited to talk about Arkansas. And before we get into anything, I want to ask you, what's it like having Brett Bielema as a head coach?
It's certainly interesting. You never get any shortage of good sound bites. Like, just, I think Tuesday it was, his new daughter Briella Bielema made an appearance in front of the media, and so you get stuff like that. He usually keeps it pretty upbeat, pretty light. It's usually a pretty fun program to be around and see from the outside.
Yeah, I was gonna say, definitely not hurting for sound bites under Brett Bielema over the last couple of years.
No, absolutely not.
So looking at his record, he's 25-26 at Arkansas. I've been there since 2013, but to be fair, he was taking over a mess in that 2013 season after Bobby Petrino left under his circumstances, and then John L. Smith and that fiasco, and he hasn't had a losing season since then. What do you think about the job he's done in Fayetteville?
I think he's done a solid job. 2016 really was the first year where you could really didn't really say that, yes, Arkansas made a pretty substantial step up, because you look at his first year, Arkansas went 3-9 and everything was just awful. He was just completely building from the ground up because of the complete mess that the program was in. Then 2014, you get a couple upsets. You finally get a couple SEC wins. They're back in a bowl game. And then they're getting into a better bowl game in 2015. 2016, they looked like they could have made that step up. You hold on to that halftime lead against Missouri and you finish the regular season 8-4. You don't blow that 3-touchdown lead to Virginia Tech. You win a Belk Bowl against a very good team. So if it wasn't for those couple second-half collapses, you could say that Arkansas has taken a pretty consistent step up every year that he's been coach.
From the outside looking into it, it seems like a lot of talk about Arkansas has been focused on finishing games and some of those blown leads and not maybe, I think record-wise, people wanting them to be better. And I think that's probably, from what you're saying, different from looking at the program like you do every single day. And don't you think there's something to be said about the stability that he's brought to that job, at the very least, when it comes to playing in such a brutal division?
Yeah, the stability is something that I think is kind of looked over among Arkansas fans, because it's something that really hasn't been seen a long time in Arkansas, because you either get the absolute highs of the Bobby Petrino era, or you get the absolute floor of the John L. Smith year, for example. It's either, like, for the past 10 years or so, even back when Houston Nutt was a coach, it was either 9-10 wins, you're up near the top of the SEC West, or you're not even making a bowl game. So having that steady 6-6, 7-5 is just, I think it's something that Arkansas fans really aren't used to, something they haven't seen in a long time, and it's something that is something that a lot of fans really aren't quite sure how to gauge it. They're not sure if Arkansas is really being successful where they want them to go, or a lot of people are afraid that maybe this is the ceiling with Brett Bielema. Maybe 7-8 wins is the most you can ask for with him, and I think a lot of people are starting to get a little bit of anxiety with that.
You brought up losing those halftime leads against Missouri and then in the bowl game against Virginia Tech. And Arkansas just in general really struggled in the second half of games last season. How much of the talk leading up to this season has been about finishing games and trying to supplement those strong first half performances, especially on offense, with a strong second half? Because like you're saying, they were a couple of plays away from being a 9-4 team last year.
Oh, yeah. And I'd say you go with coach that's walked up to a podium this year. That's been talking point number one. And even with all the plays, they've talked about how all through winter conditioning, all through summer workouts, everything was about finishing strong. And it's really odd that that's really been the big, because that's that really tough pounding style that Brett Bielema wants to have, is the whole purpose of it's meant to wear down the other team so you can take control late in the games. And the exact opposite of that has happened. Now, you can attribute a lot of that to maybe it was, oh, well, a lot of the players last year didn't have a whole lot of experience. That grind of an SEC season wore them down. But if you're going to preach, we're going to wear people out, you got to wear people out. You can't just fall apart in the second half of the last two games, which is what they did.
Yeah, the book on any Brett Bielema team, even going back to Wisconsin, is that big-ass offensive line. And this year is no different. They really struggled to get a push, though, last year in the run game. And by their standards, I would say that they took a significant step down. And now that they lose their best player in left tackle, Dan Skipper, what are this year's expectations for that line in the running game as a whole?
Well, actually, we had a piece at Arkansas Fight come out previewing the offensive line just this morning. And I think that the offensive line struggled a lot last year because it was a lot of new people in new positions. You had Jalte Froholt, who hasn't played his whole life in football. He came from Dark, I believe, went to IMG Academy, started playing as a defensive tackle, and then came to Arkansas as a really highly rated defensive tackle, and then we moved to an offensive line. So last year was his first year in an offensive line situation. So he's learning all the terminology. He's learning all the skills. He's learning everything that comes with being an offensive line. And, oh, by the way, you have to do it against the 300-pound monsters from Alabama and Auburn that are just, like, the absolute best of the best. And you've got guys like that. Johnny Gibson was a walk-on last year, and he got his scholarship right before the Belk Bowl. He's a great story. He's a huge guy, really powerful guy. But, again, he's learning how to deal with going up against SEC defensive lines. And so I think that it'll be improved, because I think the biggest improvement you have in a lot of college players, you'll see a big jump between that first year and that second year. And that's what a lot of these guys are going to go through. You're losing Dan Skipper, but you're returning four starters on the other side. So you still have a lot of experience coming back, and they're guys who have worked together. They've now gone through an SEC season. So I don't think you'll see the elite offensive line that happened a couple years ago with Arkansas, when you had guys like Travis Swanson, you had guys like Sebastian Tritola and Denver Kirkland, who were just absolute monsters. I don't think it's at that level, but I think it's definitely going to be a step up from 2016.
The man that stands to benefit the most from that, at least on the ground, is running back Devwa Wally. And he showed some flashes last year in his freshman season. Is he going to be expected to be the workhorse back for Bielema like we've seen back from those Wisconsin days? Or are there any other pieces in that run game to kind of supplement him?
Well, it definitely, Wally's going to be the featured back. Originally, the plan was to have him and Raleigh Williams, who is a fantastic running back. Unfortunately, he's had to go under a medical retirement, which just on the very last day of spring practice, he had another neck injury. He's got a history of it, and it was just best for him if he just didn't play anymore, which it just really sucked. I mean, the fans love Raleigh. He was a great player, and just to see him not be able to play anymore was really heartbreaking. But Wally is going to be the featured guy. He showed some flashes last year, and Brett Bielema has proven time and time again that the guys in their sophomore year have always made a really big jump, so I have pretty big expectations for him. Once Raleigh Williams went down, all of a sudden the depth looked a little thin, so Arkansas was able to swoop in and get grad transfer David Williams. He played at South Carolina, never was a featured back, but he did get some time in SEC play, so he knows what that grind is like. And then in fall camp, true freshman Chase Hayden has really shown up really well. He had pulled off some big runs in their first scrimmage and has looked really good, so he's going to be the third option there. So you've got a couple guys behind Devall Whaley who haven't really proven themselves on the big stage, but the coaching staff has said good things and they like what they see from those guys.
I can't believe it's taken me this long to bring it up, but I feel like quarterback Austin Allen gets overlooked when people are talking about SEC quarterbacks because he was pretty good last year.
He was, and he did so, like we talked about, with that offensive line. He was picking himself up off the ground just almost every play. It was at the point where I was just praying that we just kept him upright at the games, and he was standing in there. He was taking hits. He was making throws, and there was one at LSU. They wanted their defensive lines. After we played them, he's tweeting at Austin Allen. He's like, man, you are the toughest guy we've played against all year. He's like, he gets respect from opposing coaches. He gets respect from opposing players. I just cannot believe he went through the entire year taking as many hits as he did and making the throws he did.
He's going to have to work with a reworked pass catching group as six of last year's top eight targets are gone. What does Arkansas' situation look not only at wide receiver but at tight end, and what do you expect from them?
Well, it's kind of like what's going on with running back. You've got one really featured guy who's really proven himself. You've got Jared Cornelius, who's the senior. He's a really good slot back. And then outside of that, you've got guys who are talented, had really nice recruiting rankings, but haven't really done a whole lot on the field at this point. You've got guys like at wide receiver. Arkansas brought in a couple good JUCO guys. Brandon Martin and Jonathan Nance were really highly recruited. LaMichael Petway has done some good things in fall camp. Jordan Jones is one of the fastest guys on the team. He's got speed to get past any SEC secondary. And at tight end, you've got a lot of guys. Cheyenne O'Grady, Jeremy Patton was another really big JUCO guy. Will Gregg, all those guys were four-star recruits coming into Arkansas. So there's a lot of hype around them, a lot of natural talent and ability. Now it's just a matter of, can they take what they've got on the practice field and put it onto the in the game situation?
It seems like they're really talented at all facets of their offense, even when they don't have maybe as experienced of guys as you would want. And I was reading that piece you wrote on the offensive line that you mentioned earlier today, and it seems like it's all coming back for the 2017 team, at least, to whether that offensive line can step up and be what they've been in the past. Do you think that that's right, that it kind of all hinges on not only if they can improve in their run blocking, but like you said, being able to protect Austin Allen and not leaving him open to as many shots as he took last year?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the biggest thing, because right now with the offense, you've got to keep everyone upright. You got to keep everyone healthy, because if Austin Allen goes down, that's really going to hurt the offense. If Devall Whaley goes down, that's really going to hurt the offense. So that offensive line's got a lot of pressure on them to make sure they're keeping the pocket clean, they're opening holes for the running backs, because that's the biggest thing, because you've got the quarterback, you've got the starting running back, and you've got a talented group of receivers. You've got an excellent play caller in Dan Enos. Every offseason that we've had Dan Enos, I've been praying and hoping that no one comes in and swoops in and takes him up as a head coach, because he honestly, I think he's good enough to be a head coach at some program at some level. And so far he's stuck out at Arkansas and he's done an excellent job there. So as long as all of those pieces remain in place and you can improve the running game, because the biggest problem Arkansas had in addition to keeping Allen was they really didn't do a great job of getting positive yards on first down. So there were a lot of second and longs, a lot of third and longs, which has kind of put Austin behind the eight ball a little bit, and he had to go out and make big plays. So if you can get a little bit more run yards on that first down, maybe get a second and six instead of a second and eight, things get a lot easier.
Yeah, an improvement on offense would definitely help, not only in terms of finishing those games that we talked about, but also the defense, which has taken a step back from how good they were in 2014. Paul Rhodes joins the staff as the new defensive coordinator. What kind of identity do you expect from him, and what can we expect to see from their shift to a 3-4?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. The big news is the switch to the 3-4, which kind of in part by necessity and by design. Right now, Arkansas is a little thin at defensive line. You've got that top, those elite guys. McTelvin Aguim was a true freshman, played last year, was a five-star coming into Arkansas. You've got Bijan Jackson, who's an excellent nose tackle. But outside of that, you've got a lot of inexperience, some redshirt freshmen. So you really needed to expand your linebacker pool, kind of shorten up on the defensive line a little bit. That also helps with kind of holding that edge on the run game, because that was the thing that just killed Arkansas, especially going against Darius Geis, Leonard Fournette, all of those running game, the running game against Auburn. Those really embarrassing losses happening because Arkansas just could not hold the edge on the run game. They'd have guys get outside the tackles, get outside the numbers, and just burn past them. So that switch to a 3-4 is also kind of a reaction to that, trying to help them out with the run game. And then with Paul Rhodes, I think you're going to see a little bit more trying to be a little bit more aggressive with your blitzes, trying to be a little bit more exotic, have guys like Randy Ramsey, have guys like Dwayne Eugene kind of come in unique situations and try and make plays, because you saw a lot more aggression with the secondary, which is where Paul Rhodes came from. He got promoted from defensive backs coach to defensive coordinator, and the secondary saw some really big gains. That's usually been a really big weakness for an Arkansas defense, but last year, guys like Ryan Pulley and Andre Tolliver were really pleasant surprises.
Do you think that Arkansas has the pieces, at least right now, for the switch to a 3-4? Is this something that Bielema is looking for to be more of a long-term solution? Or is this something where they may struggle early in the year with trying to gel with it, and as the season goes on, we'll see that defense kind of fit into what Paul Rhodes wants to do with it?
I think initially on your starters, you have the right pieces, because you have guys like Randy Ramsey, Dwayne Eugene, very good, they'll work very well in a 3-4. My concern is what happens after that. If a couple guys go down with injuries, all of a sudden things are looking really thin at linebacker. We've already had Jamario Bell go down with a long-term injury, and that's really kind of, it's really caused some shifting around in the linebacker core. So if a couple guys get hurt, things can really get dicey for them. But I think the scheme makes sense for what the strengths and weaknesses of the players are. So in that sense, I think it helps. I'm just a little concerned about the depth in some of the positions as far as the switch goes.
What do you think the biggest strength of this defense is?
I'd say right now it's the cornerbacks. And that's really weird to say when you look back at Arkansas's history. But Ryan Pulley did a very good job. Henry Tolliver, and then you've got Kevin Richardson as a nickelback who's one of the captains this year. You've got depth there, and not only depth, but depth that has proven themselves. They've played well in SEC situations, and you've also got a lot of talented guys coming in. Chevin Callaway was a really highly recruited guy. Brito Tutt, another really good guy who had to miss last year because of a torn ACL. If he can get that speed back, then Arkansas all of a sudden has four or five guys that are going to be really talented and can hang with a lot of different SEC wide receivers.
One of the things that stands out to me about the SEC West right now is, outside of obviously Alabama, that everything else seems up for grabs. You look at all of these teams. LSU has some uncertainty with Ed Orgeron. Auburn, who knows what you're going to get with Auburn from year to year. Same with Texas A&M. Mississippi State has been consistent, but are they an 8 or 9 win team? I don't know. And then Mississippi has everything going on with Hugh Freeze going and all of their off-the-field issues, and it seems like with this Arkansas team, if they're able to hit their ceiling and this defense is able to mesh into that 3-4, they could make a legitimate run at a second place or a third place finish in the SEC West if things break their way.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, when you get into the SEC West, once a couple of those teams start to look wounded, that's when they could be at their most unpredictable. Every game is a battle, and every game at this point is unpredictable. I think if you look at Bill Connolly at SB Nation, you look at their previews for the games, Arkansas's got like 6 or 7 toss-up games. So it could very easily swing from a 5-7 season to an 8-4 season, just depending on how those toss-ups go. The one thing that I think Arkansas really has, and we talked about it, was that quarterback position. I'm a little biased, but I'm going to take Austin Allen in over just about any other quarterback in the SEC West. There's a lot of good guys out there. Nick Fitzgerald, fantastic runner at Mississippi State. Auburn, they could have Stidham come in and he can do some really good things. But there's just a lot of teams in the SEC West right now are concerned about how their quarterbacks are going to perform. And that's really Arkansas and, to an extent, Alabama are really the only two teams that really don't have that big question mark at the quarterback position. And I think that gives Arkansas a little bit of an advantage, even though they might not be as talented in some other spots.
Yeah, I don't think that that's an unfair assessment at all in terms of known quantities for quarterbacks. Austin Allen's already proved it, and even if you go to the SEC East, Florida has a new quarterback in Malik Zaire who should be solid. You know, Georgia, they have to have a young guy step up. Same with Drew Locke at Missouri. Same with South Carolina, Kentucky, and Tennessee's breaking in a new quarterback. So I think when it comes to quarterback play, like you're saying, Arkansas's right up there with Alabama in terms of just pure, well-rounded quarterback play. And when you look at the schedule, the two things that stand out to me are those games against TCU and A&M to begin the season. You think that, you know, it is a long season and things can change, and we've seen Arkansas go on runs in years past under Bielema, but do you think we're going to find out a lot about who this team is in the first 3 weeks of the season?
I think so, and I think that Texas A&M, it's what every Arkansas fan talks about every year because, my goodness, they have just had everything that could possibly go wrong against Texas A&M go wrong in the last 5 years.
Those have been some crazy games.
Yeah, and it's that game in Dallas. It's something that Arkansas fans always really get up for, and it just somehow always starts out so promising and always just goes so far south so quickly. So this year, Arkansas has got a bye week before A&M. A&M is, they've got a little bit of questions at quarterback, which is something that's unusual for a Kevin Sumlin coach team. But it looks like right now, this is one of the better chances Arkansas has to beat Texas A&M. And that's really going to be something that can set up a lot of success for the rest of the season, because you go into SEC play 1-0 and you've got South Carolina coming up. You've got Alabama early in the season. That's going to be a lot more manageable when you're starting out 1-0 in SEC play, potentially 2-1, 3-0 overall. You're already halfway there to making a bowl game, and you don't have to fight that uphill battle to make it look like it was a successful season.
Yeah, just looking at the early portion of that schedule, they kick off with Florida A&M and then TCU and at Texas A&M and then New Mexico State and South Carolina. There's a very plausible chance that they start that stretch 4-1, and you could even see 5-0 if they're able to beat TCU.
Yeah, 5-0, it would be great. I'd be surprised if that happens, just because I think there's going to be, at some point, there are going to be times the 3-4 defense looks great, everything's firing on all cylinders, but there's also going to be a couple games where you see some missed assignments and some broken plays, and you don't want to have broken plays against TCU, because that's a team with the athletes they have, they can really burn you with that. So I think if Arkansas comes out of that stretch 4-1, you're really setting yourself up for a successful season. 3-2, you're doing okay. If Arkansas is 2-3, they lose all those toss-up games. They can't get past South Carolina. You lose to A&M again, and you drop TCU at home. You've really got to scramble to get some wins in the second half of the SEC season, and that's something I guarantee you Brett Bielema does not want to do.
Yeah, we talked about the crazy games against A&M. They have a chance to have a repeat of another crazy game they played last year with TCU. Excited to see that game. And it seems like what we've kind of been harping on from the start here is that it's going to come down to those toss-up games and whether they can win those. And with all that being said, what do you think is a fair expectation for Arkansas this year?
Well, I think you look at anywhere you look, there's always a prediction for Arkansas. I'd say 90% of them have been 7-5. 7-5 is always the prediction. And I think that's a fair assessment of because of the way the schedule breaks up. You've got that bye week early in the season, and then you've got 10 straight weeks of football, 8 of those against SEC teams. That's a really tough schedule to go on. And because of the questions with the depth and the new scheme on defense, I think 7-5 is a fair assessment. I think you would match last year's record, but I think that you'll see a better team in 2016, even though the record may not reflect that.
Well, no matter what, Arkansas should be very entertaining, whether it's the on-field product or Brett Bielema in the press conference rooms. And if you want to check out any coverage of Arkansas this year, be sure to do so by going to ArkansasFight.com and following them on Twitter at ArkansasFight and following all of Eric's work. Eric, where else can the fine people catch all of your work on the internet?
Well, like you said, Arkansas Fight, great resource for that. You can also follow me on Twitter, Eric Harris UA. We'll be talking about Razorback football, talking about SEC football all season.
Yeah, be sure to do it. Give Eric a follow. Give Arkansas Fight a follow. And I cannot be more excited for the start of their season and to see Brett Bielema at his peak once again. Eric, thanks for joining the show, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I thought that was some great insight from Eric about Arkansas this season. And I think that they're legitimate in the SEC West and they can make a run at that second spot like we were talking about. And the quarterback play is maybe the best in the SEC. You have a strong running game. If the offensive line is able to shore up some of their weaknesses from last season, which under Brett Bielema, you would think would be a given. And I think that the defense can rebound after last season. And they got some things going their way. The schedule, as always, in that division is brutal. But early on, those TCU and A&M games, I think, are going to say a lot about where this team finishes. And if they're able to split those games or even take both of them, then I think that you could very legitimately be looking at Arkansas winning 9 games this season. So going to be a fun team to keep an eye out on. Make sure to visit ArkansasFight.com for all Arkansas news this year. Also go to Twitter, follow them at ArkansasFight, and then follow all of Eric's work at Eric Harris UA. That's going to put a bow on another episode of the Two Stripes Podcast. Want to thank all of you for listening, especially if you're a first-time listener. Make sure to go to soundcloud.com/twostripespod or search the Two Stripes Podcast on Apple Podcasts, and you can find all of the old episodes there. You can also send me a tweet at Dubsco on Twitter and let me know what you think of the show. I'll be back with another preview episode either later this week or early next week. And we're going to stay in the SEC West and talk about one of the teams that's going to compete for that second spot in the division. And that's the Auburn Tigers. Very excited to talk about them. And now that they've named Jarrett Stidham as their starting quarterback, I think there's going to be a lot of hype about Auburn this year. So excited to get that episode recorded and be on the lookout for that. Until then, though, want to thank you all for listening once again. My name is Colton Denning, and this is the Two Stripes Podcast.